But I tell you, the whole thing was misrepresented to me. It was a fraud, that's what it was. Nothing but a jip. Hello. Hello?
Hello, sucker.
Station WMAQ presents Hello, Sucker, in cooperation with the Better Business Bureau of Chicago to help you recognize some of the schemes and rackets now making the rounds in Chicago. Business people are honest and fair with the public, almost 100%. But there is a small minority which preys on the unsuspecting public through petty schemes and rackets. And although these rackets are continually exposed and their perpetrators prosecuted, many continue year after year with new ones being concocted and old ones revived with a new slant. Don't let the expression, "Hello, sucker," refer to you. Protect yourself. Listen to Chapter 4, Season on Suckers, on Hello, Sucker.
Year after year, the seasons come and go. And as the cold and gloom of winter are spent, we take comfort from knowing that presently spring will be along, when those who love growing plants feel a recurring urge to dig in the soil again. You resolve to make this year's garden, this year's lawn, the finest ever. And maybe you spend an evening or two yearning over the lushly colored pages of the seed catalogs. And you remember, guiltily perhaps, those bare patches that showed in the lawn toward the end of the last growing season. And that meant, why, of course, your lawn needs fertilizing. Now, when you've reached this frame of mind, you're eligible for one of the seasonal rackets that flourishes in the springtime. It goes something like this.
Hey, look, we ain't gonna have to go home without getting rid of this truckload of stuff today, Joe. Some seem to be many people out working in the yard.
Well, Mike, in a pinch, we can start knocking on doors, you know. We'll unload it. Just keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah. What are we going to sell our sucker today, when and if we find one? Is this stuff going to be peat moss or humus or barnyard topsoil or what?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe we better stick to that humus story today, Mac. But we have somebody that knows what peat moss really looks like.
Yeah. That humus pitch is nice and general. Nothing they can pin down. Hey, there's a kind of neat-looking yard.
Yeah, a damn in it, too. What do you think, Mac?
Suits me. I'll pull in that drive.
I guess we better tell her we got this stuff left from another job, huh?
Okay.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Nice looking place you got here.
Thank you.
Looks like you spent an awful lot of time on it.
Oh, not much yet this year. We're just getting started this spring.
Looks like you could use a little good fertilizer on that lawn.
Well, we were thinking of watering.
Hey, well, you're in luck, Miss...
Kelly, Mrs. William Kelly.
Yes, ma'am. Just got about enough fertilizer on my truck to take care of this yard of yours. I'd like to have it cheap, too.
Oh, I don't know. My husband...
Well, you see, we just come from a house a couple of streets over from here. Bought more than we needed here. I can let you have a cheap idea. 75 cents a bushel. Usually get a dollar for it, but I got this left on the truck. Hate to take it back to the warehouse, you see. Nothing like real good fertilizer to perk up the lawn, Miss Kelly.
Oh, I know that, but how many bushels would it take?
Oh, to treat this lawn? Let me see now. Actually, 14, 15 bushel, maybe.
Well, that would only cost around $10, wouldn't it?
Well, I could be off a few bushels one way or the other, Miss Kelly.
Well, what kind of fertilizer is it?
Oh, this is the finest kind of stuff there is, ma'am. Black dirt, and it's loaded with humus. Serious stuff that makes your grass sit up and take notice.
I know the lawn needs it.
Well, you can stand and watch us unload it. You want to be sure you're getting all that's coming to you.
Oh, I didn't mean... All right, I'll take 15 bushels.
That's good. I'll go and get my helper from the truck. Come on, Mac. You bet.
A few minutes later, the telephone rings, and Mrs. Kelly has to go into the house. What she doesn't know, what the suckers never realize, is that if the telephone didn't ring, one of the men would ask for a drink of water or anything to get you off the scene and make you lose count of the basket load. And when you return, well, when Laura Kelly returns to the yard sometime later.
Oh, are you men finished already?
Finished and ready with your bill, Miss Kelly.
All right. $50. But you were only going to unload 15 bushels.
We put on what the yard needed, lady.
But $50? Why, that's 67 bushels.
And 67 bushels is what we put on there, lady.
I couldn't have been gone that long.
Sure easy to lose track of time when you're on the phone, lady. You put on 67 bushels, all right.
I don't believe it.
Well, look here, lady. You said put fertilizer on this here yard, and that's what we put on there. We had to put on as many baskets as the yard needed.
Yeah. Why'd you hang around and keep count if you ain't willing to take our word?
It took more than we figured, that's all.
Joe, she's going to try and make us do all that work for her for nothing.
No,
listen
no.
to her, will you? First she tries to get out of paying what she owes, and then she starts worrying about the neighbors. Ain't that a laugh?
But $50? Why, I haven't that much money in the house.
I didn't even charge you for part of one bushel.
Pay you all I have. You can come back for the rest of it.
You hear that, Joe?
How much you got on hand, lady?
Why, about $35, I think.
$35. Okay, lady. Okay, you give me $35, and we'll come back and collect the rest of it some other time.
Well, maybe you even get a receipt for the money you pay to the humorous racketeer. But your receipt's worthless. It's either illegible, or it will be signed in the name of some so-called company that's not listed in the telephone directory. But you're out $35, or $50, or maybe more. And your so-called humus? Well, what Laura Kelly bought turned out to be chemical waste from a factory, and it nearly ruined the Kelly's lawn. Another of the seasonal rackets is that of the tulip bulb, which has been thriving the last few years. Now, there are such things as real bargains in tulip bulbs, but bargain bulbs are something to beware of as you peruse the gardening ads in the fall of the year, the time for planting bulbs. Now, suppose one day an ad something like this should catch your eye as you read your evening paper.
Offer for short time only, garden of mixed rainbow tulips, 100 bulbs, only $1.73. Closing out an overstock, first and second year planting stock bulbs, already 1 3/8 inches to 2.5 inches in circumference. Order today and get your carton of 100 tulip bulbs. Grace.
What's that you're muttering, Phil?
We were talking about putting tulips in for next spring, you remember? Here's something. Sounds like a bargain.
Oh, tell me more.
100 bulbs for only $1.73. The ad says they're prize strain, first and second year planting stock. It's a mixed assortment. $1.73. That's less than 2 cents a bulb, you know.
Does sound like a bargain, doesn't it?
Sure does. Thought we'd have to pay up to $2 a dozen anyway.
Then let's send for them. Oh, I just love to have some gorgeous tulips along that east wall next spring.
Did you notice that the ad described those tulip bulbs as 1 3/8 to 2.5 inches in circumference? And you know that it's more than 2 inches around a dime? Well, figure out for yourself the size of the tulip bulbs Phil and Grace ordered. Do you think such bulbs will bloom the first year in your garden? Suckers. Yes, it's open season on suckers the year around. The season never closes. Especially on the racket of the furnaces. We who live on the chilly shores of Lake Michigan can never quite forget how important our home heating plants are to us. Now, to operate at best efficiency, a furnace needs to be thoroughly cleaned at least once a year. But cleaning one is an unpleasant chore, while nature is luring us to the beaches and the golf course and the forest preserves. Even some otherwise good householders among us may have been known to put it off too late until the heating season is upon us. Of course, you don't have to neglect your furnace to get hooked on this racket, but it does help make you eligible when the furnace chiseler is sizing up prospects.
I see these names here, Hank?
Yes, sir.
These are all people who didn't clean out their furnaces last summer.
Well, I thought there were people who were going to try to sell new furnaces.
They are. I can see you're going to need quite a bit of coaching. We use what you might call an indirect approach.
Well, how do you know they didn't clean their furnaces?
Oh, a few discreet questions around and about. It isn't hard. Now, it's about 10-1 odds against any of these furnaces working as well as they ought to this winter. Get it?
So we go and give them a pitch about a new one. Now, Mr. So-and-so, the last low furnace is as good a furnace as there is on the market.
No, Hank. If you start out with a sales talk like that at somebody's front door, you'll never get in. Never.
What's the matter with it?
You'll let them know right out like that that you're selling a furnace and their sales resistance starts climbing like a thermometer out in the sun. You've got to back into it, Hank. Easy, easy. Here, you'll be the prospect. Now, I knock.
Yes?
Good afternoon, Mrs. Give me a name off that list.
Warren.
Oh, you're Mrs. Warren.
Yes, I'm Mrs. Warren, but I'm awfully busy today.
I'll only take a few minutes, Mrs. Warren. I'm here from the Laszlo Furnace Company to inspect your furnace for you.
Well, my furnace is working just fine. Doesn't need checking.
How long have you had your present furnace, Mrs. Warren?
15 years. Is that long enough?
Oh, it doesn't matter how long. You just want to get down in that basement where you can get at that furnace. Then I say, and when was the last time you had your furnace completely cleaned and checked, Mrs. Warren? By a thoroughly competent engineer. Now, you want to be sure and get that competent in there. It always makes an impression.
Okay. Well, what comes next?
Then, Hank, then, my boy, you start giving the pitch about all those things we're going to do for the furnace free. Absolutely, without any obligation to them, whatever. See?
You mean all the things we've got on this mimeograph sheet?
That's the one.
Well, I always heard the way to get business was to give people a lot of extra services they're not expecting.
You need more coaching than I thought, Hank. The way to get business is to make people think they're going to get a lot of something for nothing.
Maybe I ought to go out on a call with you, Pete. Watch how you do it. Maybe I'd get the hang of it better that way.
All right, then you go with me. But you better not try to say much of anything the first time. You can be the engineer. Let me do all the talking.
Okay.
Hey, wait a minute, Hank. You got that list of people?
Yeah, here it is.
And the tool chest. That we have to have, you know.
Hey, it's in the car.
And we better take along some of those mimeograph sheets about our free services, too. Just in case. Remember now, Hank, you keep quiet unless I ask you something, or she does. But you'll be listening with both ears.
Okay, dude. Well, I don't think anybody's home, Pete.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm afraid you're right, Hank.
So, what now?
Well, I was hoping we'd find someone here so you could be on the front door spiel. Well, this is just as good. Works better most of the time anyway.
Oh, now we leave this mimeo cheat in the mailbox, huh?
Uh-huh. Yeah, fold it up nice and neat. And put it right in like that. Now, let's move along. We'll drop around here again tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Tonight, Mr. and Mrs. Randolph E. Warren II are going to get a chance to find out about all the free services of the Laszlo Furnace Branch Office.
I get the rest of this grime off my hands.
Oh, you were in the basement?
Yeah, that furnace wasn't very warm up in Cal's room.
Is Cal going to bed yet?
I just said goodnight to him before I went down to see about the furnace.
Did he look all right to you?
Sure, he looked all right.
I thought his forehead felt kind of, you know, hot. I was just wondering.
No, Claire, he's all right. Eyes a little red, maybe.
Yeah, I think he maybe ought to keep him home from school tomorrow.
Certainly not. Not unless he's sick.
But, Randy, you know how he is. He'd never say he was sick. He's so afraid some of the other boys are going to think he's a sissy.
I know, Claire, and we mustn't make one out of him.
But he isn't as strong as most children, dear.
Just the same. We mustn't start thinking he's got something awful every time his eyes get a little overworked. He just reads too much.
Randy, when he does get sick, it's twice as hard for him to get over it as it is for you or me.
Yeah, I know. Well, honey, take a good look at him in the morning and then decide. I don't like to keep him home every time he gets a little touch of the sniffles. Where's the paper? Oh,
Randy, about the furnace. Is there something wrong with it?
No, I don't think there's anything to worry about.
You never did get around to cleaning it last summer, you know.
There's nothing really wrong with it, honey.
You think maybe we ought to have a check?
Why?
Oh, you always seem to be tinkering with it. I found this in the mailbox when I came home this afternoon, and I remember that the furnace never did get cleaned out last summer.
You found what in the mailbox?
It's a notice from the Laszlo Furnace Company. Says a man is coming around tomorrow, and he'll inspect the furnace. He's no charge.
What's it say?
It says here, you'll inspect the room regulator, the chains, and the dampers.
Here, let me see. Pink furnace doors, they're all right where they are.
Of course, I didn't know all those technical terms, but don't you think it's all right if I let these men check the furnace tomorrow?
Well, honey, it probably won't hurt anything if they look at it. You know, we may be using a little more fuel than we ought to since it wasn't cleaned. Yeah, maybe they can adjust that, too, while they're looking. Warren House, Pete.
Randolph E. Warren, the second. Lovely house, isn't it? Well, I hope our little mimeoed page of sucker bait did its work as well as usual. If it did, we won't have to work very hard to get into the basement. Now, remember...
I'm the engineer. Big silent guy.
And you stay clammed up unless I ask you something, you hear?
Gee, Pete, it's sure getting cold.
A break for us, my boy.
Break?
Definitely. You wait, you'll see. Here, get the knockers. Remember now, no pitching from you this time. Somebody's coming. Oh, good afternoon, ma'am. I'd like to speak to Mrs. Warren.
I'm Mrs. Warren.
We're here from the Laszlo Furnace Company, Mrs. Warren, to inspect your furnace for you.
Oh, yes. I found your notice yesterday.
I brought our engineer, Mr. Nicko, Mrs. Warren, on the chance you'd want us to go ahead with the inspection this afternoon.
Well, my husband says we may be using more fuel than we should.
And in that case, Mrs. Warren, we'd better not delay that inspection any longer. May we look at the furnace?
On through this way. The basement door is in the back hall.
You're probably not getting most efficient use of your fuel. Bet you didn't get the furnace cleaned last summer, eh, Mrs. Warren?
Well, no, we didn't. Mr. Warren says there isn't anything seriously wrong with it, but it's just down the basement stairs.
Oh, thank you. How long have you had your present furnace, Mr. Warren?
Oh, we bought it, let's see, bought it in 1940. Uh-huh. Not quite 12 years. Here we are.
Uh-huh. Looks a little, well, what do you think, Hank?
I think we ought to look it over before we say anything, Mr. Champlin.
Why, of course. Now, Mrs. Warren, we don't like to inconvenience you, but you realize you'll have to be without heat for, maybe an hour or so.
Well, you don't think it'll be much more than that, do you? It's turning colder outside.
Probably not more than a couple of hours at the most. You just go on with whatever you have to do, and we'll let you know when we find out.
Thank you. I do have some telephoning I should be doing. I'll look in on you after a while. If there's anything you need, just call me.
Thank you, Mrs. Warren. Boy, what a layout. I bet we can stick Mr. Randolph Warren at least a grand for a new furnace.
But, Pete, I don't see anything wrong with this one.
Well, start finding something. What do you think we carry that tool chest for? How are we doing, Hank? Hey, boy, you're awful grimy.
Oh, I'm getting this collar around the radiator jacket loose now.
Ooh, how are you getting along down there?
It's not going to be quite as simple as we thought, Mrs. Warren.
Oh, dear. I put on a coat and some gloves, but it's getting quite chilly upstairs. It's been nearly 2 hours.
Oh, I'm sorry as can be about that, Mrs. Warren. This is turning out to be quite a job.
Oh, dear. Well, can't we have the house warm again by the time my son gets home from school?
We'll do what we can, Mrs. Warren. Don't you worry. We'll have an estimate for you on the list of repairs before long.
Well, all right. But please, get the furnace back in working order as soon as you can, won't you?
Hank, give that lady another couple of hours and she'll be ready to settle for anything.
Champlin, please. The heat's been off for 4 hours now. Isn't the furnace fixed yet?
I'm afraid we don't dare put it back together the way it was, Mrs. Warren. Too many parts need to be replaced.
Oh, the house is so cold, Mr. Champlin. And when my son came home from school, they told him not to come back tomorrow. He's come down with the measles.
Measles? Oh, now isn't that a shame? The measles.
Yes, and the doctor says you simply must accept Warren. Oh, can't you do something?
How soon will your husband be home, Mrs. Warren?
Oh, any time now. Can't you get it back together soon?
Mrs. Warren, the truth of the matter is that you're going to need so many repairs on this heating plant, you'd be better off investing your money on a new one.
A new furnace?
Oh, that's what you said, didn't you, Hank? Hank.
Huh? Oh, yeah, Pete.
You see, that's what our engineer says about it.
Oh. Well, can't you put it in working order just for tonight? My son's sick.
To tell you the truth, Mrs. Warren, I wouldn't want to take the responsibility for reassembling this furnace. Not with these parts in this condition.
Oh, dear. Oh, I'll have to go and take care of my boy. But I'll send my husband down here the instant he sets foot in this house.
But I'll tell you, Mr. Champlin, I can't see that there's anything so wrong with this furnace. It was working fairly well.
That's the trouble with the furnace, Mr. Warren. You don't always know without expert advice. Of course, it's too bad we had to get into this. This particular time, the day your boy comes down from measles, how is he?
Oh, Miss Warren, I'd decide he'd better be in the hospital before he caught pneumonia in that deep freeze upstairs.
Oh, what a shame, Mr. Warren. I do hope he comes out of it all right.
Oh, thank you. Now, see if you can't get this furnace out of this all right, and right away.
Well, now, Mr. Warren, that's not going to be so easy. You see, this furnace needs a good deal of repair work done. New parts.
Well, what does it mean?
You see this fire pot?
Well, what's the matter with it?
It just won't do any longer, I'm afraid. Isn't that right?
That's right, Mr. Chandler. Needs a new one.
You see, Mr. Warren, and that's only one of several things. Our engineer here says the safety collar should be replaced. And the radiator.
No, wait a minute. That's practically the entire assembly.
I know it, Mr. Warren. Well, your repair bill is going to run you $300 or $350. You'd just as well invest that money in a brand new furnace.
Well, I'd rather have this one repaired. It always worked all right before.
I'm sorry, Mr. Warren. I should have said the part that should be replaced would cost you as much as $350 if we can get them. Now, this is an odd-sized pot. Might be very difficult to replace it nowadays. And this radiator... Well, I hate to tell you this, but let me show you. You see this metal, Mr. Warren?
Yeah, I'm looking right at it.
Now, this radiator piece fits right up here at the top, as you know, under the jacket.
Uh-huh.
Now, we'll try to get you a new one if you want it, but it's about 100 to 1 we won't be able to get one that fits this particular model furnace.
Now, won't that one do it all?
The truth of the matter is, Mr. Warren, I just don't trust this one. I don't trust it at all.
Oh, why not?
Well, now, if you'll examine it closely, sir, you'll see that this metal has grown quite porous in the time it's been in your furnace.
Porous?
Yes, yes. And that means that some mighty dangerous gases could get through the fire chamber and into your warm air ducts. Now, I don't like to scare you, but of course you know that carbon monoxide is one of the deadliest gases there is.
I know. It has no odor.
Now, I don't imagine you want to run the risk of poisoning yourself and your family.
Oh, of course not.
Now, Hank, didn't you say there was some danger of fire getting into the chimney or into the walls?
Oh, I sure did, Mr. Champlin. I sure did.
Now, you see, Mr. Warren, I simply cannot take the responsibility for reassembling this furnace with your present parts. I just can't run the risk. Unless you'd care to sign a release that would absolve us of all liability in case of an accident or a fire or a tragedy.
Well, why would you want me to sign a thing like that?
Why, Mr. Warren, we've inspected your furnace. Naturally.
Well, what'll it cost to install a new lazo?
Well, now, that depends. We have different grade furnaces at different prices. The better ones cost more.
Sure.
Naturally, you'll want one of the heavier grade ones. They give better service. Isn't that so, Hank?
Oh, the best. Depend on that, Mr. Warren, the best. Well, we've certainly got to have heat. Temperature's going down towards
zero.
Will
you excuse me and Hank a minute, Mr. Warren? I think there's a contract. I'll get my boots. Hank, do we have one? Yes, here we have one of the contracts here, Mr. Warren. All ready for you to sign.
$1,113.
That's our very best furnace, Mr. Warren. You'll want it installed as quickly as possible, I say.
Oh, just as fast as you can get it in here.
We'll have it in here by tomorrow afternoon. Believe me, Mr. Warren, you're making a very wise decision.
Well,
just sign here on the dotted line at the bottom where it says buyer signature. You see, Hank, how we get their name on a furnished contract? The trick is, don't let them compare prices. Get their signature before you leave the house.
Oh, I was listening every minute, Pete. Every minute. Hey, what happens if that guy Warren tries to get out of it?
Oh, that's another thing. Don't give him a chance to read what they're signing. If Warren had read that contract, he wouldn't like the idea of paying about 40% to cancel it. But he doesn't know he's agreed to that. By the way, Hank, you took that furnace apart like a veteran. Next time, maybe you can help with some of the sales pitch.
Thanks. Hey, Pete, you had us scared to death with all that talk about porous metal and carbon monoxide.
That scared stuff is what makes them tumble, as a rule. You can't always get the break, though, like the temperature going down or that kid coming down with the measles.
Oh, his folks were nearly frantic.
The thing you got to learn about selling, Hank, is take advantage of every break that comes up, like that sick kid.
That was kind of a tough break for him.
Tough break? Hey, now, boy, you listen to me. We're not in the sympathy business. We're selling furnaces, no matter what. Remember that.
And you remember, too, will you? When you see a come-on ad that seems to promise a lot for a little, or when a stranger knocks at your door to give you, as he says, some free service absolutely without obligation to you, beware the free service boy, for they're nearly always hiding a joker somewhere, up the sleeve or down in the paragraphs of fine print. And that joker may be costly to you. Just keep in mind that it's always open season on Suckers. And beware, beware, beware.
Tonight's script was written by Christine Squire and was based in part on information secured in cooperation with the Better Business Bureau of Chicago. All characters were fictitious, and any resemblance to any person living or dead is purely coincidental. Members of the cast were Rosemary Kelly, Eloise Cummer, Jack Lester, Arthur Peterson, Russ Reed, and Fred Smith. Hello, Sucker is produced by Judith Waller, with direction by John Cowan. The special music was written by Emil Soderstrom and Richard Shores, and was played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Sound by Tom Evans, engineering by George Wilson. This is John Conrad speaking. Next week, Hello Sucker reveals the tragic rackets in real estate, which prey upon racial minority groups. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.